Pick up the battle. Take it up. It's yours. This is your life. This is your world. I'll be leaving it long before you under the ordinary set of circumstances.
This nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Rise. Aloha, and welcome to Rise Up. Today we are going to tackle a sensitive topic, and it may be difficult for you to listen, so if this triggers you, I am not in any way trying to make this an argument on any level, but it is something that I feel I need to discuss. We're going to talk about Aaron Bushnell and his extreme act of protest in front of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. This is a loaded topic because it's going to be religious, it is going to be political, it is going to be opinionated. And I hope that the discord that I put forth today doesn't cause any negativity, but instead causes people to really be more inquisitive and have difficult conversations. So let us jump into it. On February 25th of 2024, Aaron Bushnell, a 25-year-old serviceman of the United States Air Force, committed an extreme act of protest by self-immolating himself and lighting himself on fire in front of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. While he is not the only person to do so, he is the one that we have the name of. A few months prior, in December of 2023, an African-American woman did the same thing in Atlanta in front of the embassy for Israel there. The media, from my point of view, did a much more swift job of sweeping her actions under the rug, and I don't think she got her just freedom of speech, because when people are doing this, we will get into it more, they are screaming because they're not being heard. But Aaron Bushnell went about it very meticulously, and I think his actions and his preparation and his mythology, you know, the way he went about it, indicate that he is not crazy at all, that he is been pushed to the point by his environment and society around him that he had to question his humanity in a way that he wasn't able to live with, and he was willing to sacrifice that life to be heard. So if you don't know, he went about this in a lot of different ways. He wrote himself a will. He took his animals over to his neighbor's house. He had all of his life savings donated to the children, the Free Children of Palestine Fund. He put out social media posts. He went about getting the ability to record this and went live on the social media platforms. He was working with the Air Force in the capacity of intelligence and was privy to a lot more than your average person about what is happening in Israel with the war. So to speak, I personally don't think it's a war. I think it is one-sided. I think you are talking about a well-armed governmental force that is supported by major government agency and a group of terrorists, we like to say, but they are also known as Hamas. I look at them as just other people. When you really look at these situations where we are marketed as a people to call people terrorists or to give them terrorist organization names like Taliban, ISIS, and things of that nature, that is a divisive measure, in my opinion, because really they're just people, and we have to really analyze why these actions are being taken and what has precluded the scenario of this group of people being aggressive and malicious. Typically, with terrorists, we end up finding that there has been some sort of interventionist situation in their homeland, which has impoverished, brutalized, and tortured them and their families. And so this is their form of retaliation. They are choosing violence. They are choosing a very base nature of our human form. The fight or flight. There is fight. What do we expect everyone just to flight? To run away? So, this situation in Israel, Gaza, much like the other situations, I feel is ridiculous. And to support any of the violence going on is to continue to not heed the wisdom of our predecessors and to not rise up better from our past. We have stagnantly stayed in the ashes and not been able to formulate the means of bettering ourselves in our rebirth. What Aaron Bushdell did, I believe, is a loud statement, but also a metaphor for our time to rekindle the flames of what can drive humanity forward in a positive way, in a caring way. Gaza and the Palestinian people have been done an incredible disservice. And let's give a little history to that. So following World War II, there was the formation of what we now know as Israel, the Jewish state. After World War II, England was given, or Europe was given, control of the area of Palestine, which the Ottoman Empire had just lost during World War I. So after World War I, Europe was in control of the Ottoman Empire and the Palestinian region in particular. The Ottoman Empire had ruled there for hundreds of years. Okay, the Turkish people, Ottoman Empire, however you want to refer to them, they had ruled this area for hundreds of years. But after World War I, they lost and they were broken apart, and different territories were ceded to other places, in this case, again, Europe, for management until they could be figured out. And Europe promised the Palestinians independence. Then World War II happens. Things get put on the side. priorities get changed, and we're in another war. After World War II, they needed a place for the Jewish people, and they were also promised the area within Palestine, because it was their original homeland according to the Bible. According to the Bible. And so Israel, which was a population of about 650,000 people that were moved from one place to where Israel is, displacing 1.2 million Palestinians and fragmenting their homeland where their ancestors had been. Now, how far do we take that back? If we're going to use that same premise here and be just and logical people, then we would be saying that everyone is entitled to the land of their ancestors, and therefore indigenous people have the right to their land. Meaning that Aborigines in Australia can just go crazy on everyone that is not Aborigine, and we will not only allow them to do that, but we will fund them to do that. In this case, the United States funds Israel to the tune of $10 million per day, and has been doing so for decades, like, long time. That's on top of the aid we just gave them for military aid to continue this massacre, genocide, however you want to name it. It is both. It is genocide, period. But the United States has been funding this, making them, in my opinion, complicit with the act, and therefore the leadership of this country should be tried for war crimes. Because, again, this is genocide. We are complicit. And that is really easy to depict. It's not really, at this point, a statistical opinion. It's a statistical fact. Aaron Bushnell understood this more than I do. And he wasn't being heard. We are not being heard. And it's not just with this Gaza-Israel thing, which Aaron Bushnell so... He really was thoughtful when he did this. He understood that. He posed a question, what would you do, and this is paraphrasing, if you were alive during the Holocaust, during the apartheid, and he referenced a lot of historical genocidal scenarios, and he's like, well, you are alive, it's happening now. And it is. He knew this, very much so, with detail, that I can't imagine it. And he wasn't being heard, we're not being heard, and he wanted to set a stage for us. And the media immediately maligns the narrative and doesn't allow it to be part of the mainstream topics. Instead, we're left with buffoonery and people in the media who are simply building brands. They literally have branded their names so that their name make it's ridiculous. But we have not been heard for a long time. This same sentiment and feeling we heard in the 60s during the Vietnam War. The First World War was supposed to be the war to end all wars. It is the nickname and moniker. That has not been the case. In fact, it has ended up being the war that economized wars. It showed the leadership that they could profit and elevate themselves through the act of war. World War II emphasized that even more so with the advancements in industrialization and the focus on building things to harm others. It advanced industrialization in so many ways. And so we have been fed wars falsely. World War II, understand, there are some things you have to put your foot down on, and I believe America was actually late to that party and profited by selling weapons to both sides of that scenario until we were attacked at Pearl Harbor. But prior to that, the United States was nonpartisan on that. They were selling weapons and resources to both sides and profiting. Those are just the facts. We didn't lead. We're not leaders, this country. The United States is not a leader in anything. We only lead in things like incarceration, homeless people. We are like 29th in education. The things that matter, we are nowhere in the top. And that is, by matter, I mean matter for humanity, matter for our culture, matter for our advancement as a species. We are nowhere in the realm of leadership there. Is that okay? For me, I don't believe it is. For me, I believe that we are a culture that is rude to our predecessors and incapable of taking the hard lessons that they laid before us and applying them, because we're incapable of standing up to the few people who profit from our ignorance. We need to listen to Erin Bushnell and this brave woman in Atlanta, who I wish I knew her name. I have tried to find it. That has been buried. But hopefully it comes out in light of Erin Bushnell and his efforts. But he is not the only one. He is not the only one on fire, burning up about this situation, because he is fighting his humanity. The United States military enrollment numbers are lower than they have been since forever. I believe it's lowest since World War II. And why? Because people are not wanting to be counterintuitive to their nature. They want to be more humanitarian. We want to be leaders in the things that matter. We want to gather each other together and lift each other up. We don't want to be part of this broken union that does not represent our better nature. There's a scene in The Newsroom. It's in episode 1 or 2, and there's a little clip snippet that runs around the internet where Jeff Daniels is talking about how America used to be a great country, but he didn't believe we were anymore. The sentiment, I believe, is valid with most of the country when he's talking in those points, and all of those are factually based points, at least for the time period in which it was filmed. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you support the painted orange one, the 45th president, however you want to call him, I just won't use his name, or you support President Obama, or you're a fan of the Bushes or Jimmy Carter. Doesn't matter where your political understanding aligns historically. I believe most people can look at our country and say it's not adequate for what our standards should be and what our grandparents believed it should be. I think that's a unanimous feeling. And people are starting to feel that they don't want to sign up for this military. They don't want to go and intervene in other countries' business, in the with the consequences being human life and maleficence and vitriol. We do not need that. We have had insanely bright minds come to us ever so often, and our society and this collective species has a recent gift of isolating these individuals who are forward thinkers and saying, you're ahead of your time, and outcasting them and looking at them as weirdos because they're thinking forward compassionately about how we should do more with less and how we should cooperate to provide abundance for everyone. And the do more with less, before someone gets on and goes crazy about it, yes, you can take that in a lot of different ways. And one interpretation is going to say, yeah, doing more with less, you end up with a house that doesn't stand the test of time. That is not what is meant by do more with less when it comes to people who have an engineering mind and are structurally sound in the totality of systems engineering. Doing more with less means to achieve the maximum results with the least amount of resources. Buckminster Fuller, Geodesic Dome. It doesn't mean it is an inferior living situation. It means that it is an encapsulated situation where we use the least amount of resources as possible to provide a sound, solid structure. We can do that with so many other things that incorporate our resources. But today, we are militarized. And that means we want to use an abundant amount of resources, because this militarization came with planned obsolescence and the idea that everything has a planned uselessness. So we went from having mops that you could buy and would last centuries, like you could hand me down your mop, you could pass on your washer and dryer, and they would last a long time. This is how things were made, with this intention to have longevity. But planned obsolescence was a model that was like, we have to keep the economy going and we have to keep money flowing, so we want to make sure that that mop doesn't last generations, so we're going to do a Swiffer because it breaks, it's not as durable, and it has more pieces that need to be bought continuously to keep that flow of money and resources moving. This has rapidly changed the landscape of the world and how we go about things. Israel. This is just a place where the United States can send $10 million and sell, on top of that, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, all these different major corporations can profit by sending their weapons over there and monitoring equipment so they can monitor the people of Palestine and basically have a giant internment camp. One in which now they are systematically bombing randomly. And they did it for so long that there was no food and no supplies. So then what they did do? They waited for the nonprofit organizations and stuff to deliver aid and food to the people and children that were starving to death. And then they bombed that. If they have been caught by the United Nations torturing the members of the United Nations to make sure that they would they would give the accurate the story and narrative they wanted when they got out. And we're not considering this war crime. We're not looking at those who are funding this and aiding this as war criminals. You want to know how we get more terrorists and more people thinking that the United States is the bully? We keep allowing the leadership we have to make the decisions for us. I love you all, but I also love all those Palestinian men and women that are suffering. And I don't have the courage. I don't have the gumption. And I am weak in many ways compared to Aaron Bushnell, this 25-year-old United States Air Force member who got tired of living in a world where his better nature couldn't flourish. So, for Aaron, African sister in Atlanta, you too, the admiration is equal. I know you survived, and I appreciate your sacrifice. It's not okay. I feel your frustration, and I admire your courage and self-sacrifice. I hope that one day that sacrifice can be learned from and gleaned from so that we don't ever have to have anyone make those sacrifices again. Because we collectively hold human life valuable. We do not stand for acts of violence, and we find ways to live together synergistically and peacefully. Thank you once again. I love you all.
Let's move on to the next question. Go ahead.
Hi. My name is Jenny, I'm a sophomore, and this is for all three of you. Can you say in one sentence or less what... you know what I mean. Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis?
Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Will?
The New York Jets.
No, I'm going to hold you to an answer on that. What makes America the greatest country in the world?
Well, Lewis and Sharon said it, diversity and opportunity and freedom and freedom.
I'm not letting you go back to the airport without answering the question.
Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing. You don't look satisfied.
One's a set of laws and the other's a declaration of war. I want a human moment from you. What about the people? Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying...
Yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey!
And with a straight face, you're gonna tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom.
the UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is, there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are without a doubt a member of the worst period generation period ever period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars. Acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Enough?
Studio Stargazer.org.
Check one, check two, check three, and here we go. The music in this episode is by the Stargazer original artist, Jenner Zeno, from the album Incendium. This album is available for purchase and licensed for use in your own works on our website. The outro music is by J.H. Coleman through Epidemic Sound. And the reference sound clip is from the HBO show The Newsroom. Its use in this episode is with fair use intended. You can learn more about Rise Up and much more at Studio Stargazer.
Studio Stargazer.